The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Before we start the show, it's time for this week's Bubble Genius Showcase Item of the Week. March is all about Easter and Passover at BubbleGenius.com. Head on over to Bubble Genius and pick up their Sweet Jesus Chocolate Jesus Soap. It's a finely sculpted statue of Jesus that looks and smells like chocolate. Not available anywhere else, and it's guaranteed to be sacrilegious. Only $7 at BubbleGenius.com, but if you use our promo code Bob and Chez, that's BOBANDCHEZ, you'll get 15% off your entire order only at BubbleGenius.com. And now, let's start the show.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
When I was growing up in Bakersfield, my favorite thing in all the world was to go to the movies on Saturday afternoons for the chapter plays.
Cliffhangers.
I know that, Mr. Man. They also call them serials. I'm not stupid, you know. Anyway, my favorite was Rocket Man. And once it was a no-brakes chapter. The bad guys stuck him in a car on a mountain road and knocked him out and welded the door shut and tore out the brakes and started him to his death. And he woke up and tried to steer and tried to get out, but the car went off a cliff before he could escape. And it crashed and burned, and I was so upset and excited. And the next week, you better believe I was first in line. And they always start with the end of the last week. And there was Rocket Man trying to get out. And here comes the cliff. And just before the car went off the cliff, he jumped free. And all the kids cheered. But I didn't cheer. I stood right up and started shouting, "This isn't what happened last week! Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us! This isn't fair! He didn't get out of the cock-a-doodle car!"
This is the What's Happening Sound. Radio, that's where it is. Community activities. Charming people shoot the breeze. Get your spirits off the ground. Radio,
radio,
the What's Happening Sound.
I love the poorly educated.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
I love the poorly educated.
It is Friday, February 26, 2016, and this is the Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com. And oh my God, this, the sound of my voice is about as good as it's going to get today.
This country.
Oh my God.
I love the poorly educated.
So do we.
Just us.
I'm Bob Seska. That's Chez Pazienza cursing right over there. We are brought to you each and every show by BubbleGenius.com. It's the best damn soap in the world. Also brought to you by the Bowen Law Group and attorney Charles J. Bowen. Head over to thebowenlawgroup.com/Bob and Chez or click the link in the podcast page. You get free legal advice. Especially for the poorly educated.
I love the poorly educated.
Me too. All right. So as you can hear, my voice isn't 100%. But it's way better than it was on Thursday. So I'm grateful that it's coming back. It's probably at its peak right now, and it's only going to get worse by the end of the show. So, and that's why we're doing our Friday show, or our Thursday show on Friday. Because there was just no way. Yesterday, you know what I sounded like yesterday? I sounded like Harvey Fierstein.
Oh, yeah. No, I like it when my voice gets like that. In fact, it used to be when I got, like, the Fierstein voice, I would leave a message on, like, you know, my voicemail or whatever, so that when people called, "Hi, this is Harvey Fierstein. Chez can't come to the phone right now."
See, now here's the thing. My voice is kind of shot, and Chez is still drunk from last night.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. Jack Daniels, man. Jack Daniels single barrel.
So it's going to be one of those amazing shows where I'll barely be able to speak, and Chez will barely be able to form a thought. Or maybe too many thoughts, depending on how the alcohol continues to affect him. But, you know, I think this is okay. I mean, this is not unlistenable, is it? My voice? I don't know. I don't care.
Oh, I don't think so.
Yeah, we're just going to have to proceed as usual. Okay. So we've got a massive show because we've got all kinds of stuff stacked up from this week. We've got a Republican debate to talk about. We've got the Nevada caucus on the Republican side. We've got South Carolina coming up. What? Tomorrow. Yeah, it's tomorrow on Saturday. And then Super Tuesday on Tuesday. Is that what day Super Tuesday is on? It's Tuesday, right?
Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Oh, see, I'm poorly educated.
I love the poorly educated.
Okay, so because we're doing the show today on Friday when we normally do the after party, instead of doing a post-mortem show, we're going to extend the post-mortem show and do basically like an after party meets the post-mortem show. So we're going to end this show. This is for our Patreon people. We're going to end this show, and then we're going to keep talking, but then we're going to start the after party with all the sound effects that we use at the beginning of the after party. That's kind of how it's going to work. So bear with us. I think this will work out as planned. We're just mashing everything up here at the end of the week. So first of all, we got to start with last night's debate. Last night's Republican debate.
Loud noises!
And we'll eventually get...
Unintelligible yelling.
Yeah, it was just...
You saw that, right?
I saw that Salon article, yes.
That's so beautiful.
It was awesome.
Closed captioning
yeah.
on it. It just had a picture of those three idiots, and it just said unintelligible yelling.
Right. Here's how that kind of went. This is the segment of the debate last night in which they're fighting. It's Ted Cruz fighting with Donald Trump, and then Marco Rubio jumps in, and then it all disintegrates into... incoherent shouting.
They called me a liar. You're saying I can't respond to being called a liar?
Go ahead and respond.
You know, what we're seeing with Donald is actually the pattern of Washington, the pattern of Washington deal makers.
You know, I love the fact that Donald Trump is sticking it to this guy, Ted Cruz, because no one deserves it more than Ted Cruz.
This is true.
No one deserves to be called a liar more than Ted Cruz, and Donald Trump is doing it. Thank effing God. Yeah. I just love to watch the look on his face, his slimy face with his little tiny baby teeth.
Yeah,
getting his ass handed to him by Donald Trump.
Because they make promises, yeah. They break.
Did you hear? Did you see? Tybee had the best description of Ted Cruz's face. Yeah. He said it looks like someone sewed together pieces of a waterlogged Reagan mask at gunpoint.
Yeah, exactly.
Their words, and then when anyone calls them on it, they call you a liar. And so that's Donald's pattern over and over. And he said, for example, 7 months is Donald speaking, quote, I, Donald Trump, was a member of the establishment. There's a reason Harry Reid thinks he's the best Republican up here. There's a reason Jimmy Carter said he would support Donald Trump over me because he said Donald Trump is malleable. He has no fixed set of beliefs, whereas Ted Cruz is not malleable. And every time anyone points at Donald's actual record, what he said on national television.
Is it really going to make any difference to Republican voters what Jimmy Carter said about Donald Trump?
Yeah, this exactly. is
a strange, strange Ted Cruz attack there.
Thank Donald you, yells liar. Let me tell you something. Falsely accusing someone of lying
Go
is
ahead,
itself a lie, and it's something Donald does daily.
Go ahead, Mr. Trump. I watched.
And what Trump says here is actually true. Ted Cruz lied about Ben Carson dropping out of the race. Ted Cruz is sending around these fake mailers that look like someone's been penalized for illegal voting or something. Yeah. Trump is going to get into it here.
The lobbyists. I watched what this man did to Dr. Ben Carson, who I respect, in Iowa, where he said that Ben Carson is out of the race. He has left Iowa and he's out of the race. And I thought it was disgraceful and got a lot of votes because of that. A lot of votes took him away from Ben Carson. I watched that. Probably took him away from me, too. But I watched it. I also watched where he did a form that looked like it came right out of a government agency. And it said on top, voter violation. And then it graded you, and it scared the hell out of people. And it said the only way you clear up the violation, essentially, is to go and vote for Ted Cruz. I watched that fraudulent document, and I said it's the worst thing I've ever seen in politics. To me, that was even worse than what he did to Ben.
Senator
so,
Cruz.
I know politics.
Here we go. This is where everything disintegrates into yelling.
I know politicians, believe it or not, better than you do, and it's not good.
Oh, I believe it. No, I believe you know politicians much better than I do because for 40 years you've been funding liberal Democratic politicians. And by the way,
I funded you.
The reason, you're welcome to have the check back.
I funded this guy.
Because let's
get
clear. Yeah, you gave me $5,000.
You never funded me.
And by the way, let's be clear.
I mean, you know, I don't know whether to laugh at this or to want to get on the next plane to New Zealand or Canada or something, because this is where we are. This is insane.
Yeah.
This is the level of decorum by the party that represents half the goddamn country.
Yep. Really, I hate to keep hammering this, but obviously I've been living with it all week, as I do most weeks, you know, by being excoriated on Twitter, which obviously I'm fine with. But you have the other side who are like, you know what? Fine. If Bernie doesn't get the nomination, I'm going to vote for one of these clowns. That'll show him.
That's the newest thing, the Bernie or bust idea, which is just, you know, it's something that we saw 8 years ago with Hillary Clinton supporters, and they're just doing it again. It's like there's this thing on the Democratic side where if your person doesn't win, then you're going to, you know, take the, you know, the board game and wing it across the room, or take the video game controller and you throw it against the TV.
Yep.
And you storm off. It's not how it works. It's not how it's supposed to work, and it's self-defeating and stupid.
Donald claims to care
about him. Donald,
I understand rules
Mr.
are very
Trump,
hard
you're doing
for you. They're
a great
very confusing.
Job. I have his book.
Okay, yeah,
that,
on your reality
Trump,
TV show, not in
thank you,
yeah.
Thank you for the book.
Donald.
Thank you for the book. Go ahead.
Donald, you can get back on your
meds
now.
A lot of fun up here tonight.
Loud noises!
It's like Donald Trump's over there just like interrupting and saying his own thing, not even, you know, pausing to give the other guy a chance to speak. He's just like talking right over him. Fun. Meanwhile, Ben Carson had another ridiculous thing. I mean, Ben Carson is clearly being advised by the imaginary people who live under his bed.
Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, you know what? The shadow people came by today. By the way, the Ben Carson voice, I can totally do it today. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, I was sound asleep last night and I woke up and wanted to go get a glass of water, and I was admiring the pattern on the carpet when the toe monster popped out from under my bed and said, hey, why don't you talk about the Supreme Court and how you're going to examine would-be Supreme Court nominees based on the fruit salad of their life.
You seriously really needed to read. Like, the only thing really great about these debates is Patton Oswalt live tweeting them.
Yes, exactly.
Like, he drinks scotch and live tweets them, and just hilarious. And he just went to town on that Ben Carson comment.
The fruit salad thing. Here, just in case you missed it, here's Ben Carson talking about how his criteria for selecting Supreme Court justices will be based on the fruit salad of their life.
We're going to have to encourage them to act in an appropriate way, or we will lose our religious freedom. And as president, I would go through and I would look at what a person's life has been. What have they done in the past? What kind of judgments have they made? What kind of associations do they have? That will tell you a lot more than an interview will tell you. The fruit salad of their life is what I will look at.
The fruit salad of their life is what
I swear to God, that's the thing that I told you about when my friends used to do ecstasy, and you get to that point where you're kind of twilighted,
totally.
You start saying things that you're thinking.
Yeah, that's what is it? The Panthers right game? Is it the yeah. What do you call it? The Panthers game?
Yeah, he's like, he's on Ambien, and he's like right there between being asleep and being awake, and just out of nowhere, he was like thinking somewhere deep inside the recesses of his brain about a fruit salad, and he said it out loud. There's the fruit salad. I was thinking about the fruit salad and the spiders.
I was having the munchies last night, and I was like, you know a good way to choose Supreme Court justices? You're gonna look at the mango salsa of their life. Gonna look at the salad bar of their life. The seafood salad at Subway. That particular sub is... I'm gonna look at the Roy Rogers Fixins bar of their life. And then choose accordingly. Dr. Ben Carson? I don't know what the hell that means. The fruit salad of their life? Does that indicate that everyone's life is somehow like a side dish for a picnic? I don't know what that even means. Meanwhile, Marco Rubio totally nailed Trump.
You know, it's sad because it's not going to stick.
No,
nothing
it's not.
Sticks to Trump, but I have to give him a lot of credit because I think that if people were smart enough to fucking pay attention, Rubio would basically have showed you what he really exposed Trump. And the way he exposed him was simply by getting under his skin. Like, watch Trump respond whenever somebody says something that really gets to him, and you can see it. And Rubio just hammered him.
Yeah, Trump gets so peeved, and then he does that thing where he almost grimaces and turns his head to the side.
He holds up his finger and he goes, no, you know, that's the only thing he's got when you really get under his skin.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, I've been observing Trump's hand gestures and trying to relate and trying to get an idea of what they actually mean. Like Bernie Sanders has the hand gesture where he's calling for the check, saying the millionaires and the billionaires. And he does the thing with the finger. Trump does a similar gesture with his hand, but he presses his thumb up against his index and middle finger, almost as if he's writing on a dry erase board. So that's the Trump gesture, the writing on the dry erase board. And then he does this thing where he sticks his lower teeth out. And that's something specific that he does when he's bragging about himself.
Right.
But when he gets peeved, his mouth becomes the size of a Cheerio. I mean, it gets really tiny and he starts to turn 90 different shades of beet red.
Yeah, you can see in his face that he's just like, why can't I take out my phone right here and begin tweeting at this ass?
Exactly.
You can see the tweets formulating. I think I called Trump today for a quickie piece that I did for Banter. I called him, he's basically the Kanye of our politics right now.
Yeah.
You know, he just rants and rambles every time he gets butt hurt over something someone said about him.
Exactly. All right, we're going to talk about my favorite clip of the week coming up right after we talk about this. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. Most of us, men and women, have no choice but to rake our skin almost every day with razor blades. Think about that. Razor blades, like a set of razor blades on a plastic stick. And we rake that across our face or else we look terrible. But the catch is that razors can often make us look like hell, too. I get razor burn all the time. And there's nothing like leaving the house looking like Deadpool under his mask. Again, it's like Dick Cheney shot me in the face when I get razor burn. But now there's hope with Harry's Razors. 5-blade German-engineered excellence without the middleman to jack up the prices. Go to harrys.com and pick up Harry's starter set. It's an amazing deal. For just $15, you get a razor, moisturizing shave cream, and 3 razor blades. Best of all, I've been shaving with Harry's for weeks now with no razor burn, just a smooth, close shave every time. That feels awesome. And don't forget, ladies, Harry's is perfect for your legs and armpits, and you don't have to worry if you drop your Harry's razor in the shower because it'll all snap right back together. Go to harrys.com and enter the promo code BANDC, that's BNC for Bob and Chez, and get $5 off your first Harry's shave. $5. Plus, you'll be supporting the show by taking good care of your face and your legs with Harry's Razors. That's HARRYS.com.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
You know, hearing my voice, I'm so paranoid, I think I'm never going to sound like that ever again. It's like, when my voice sounds like this, which is, maybe this is the third time in my life I've lost my voice. It's actually getting better. I mean, if you missed the top of the show, I don't know why you would, but it's improving. Slowly but surely, it's getting better and better and better. But I'm so pessimistic that I'm going, it's always going to sound like this. It's never going to improve. And then finally when it does, I go, it's a miracle! So, Lindsey Graham.
Miss Lindsey.
This guy has been on a roll lately, and it's been since, I don't know, midway through the primaries when he really just started making a lot of sense, and it's great and refreshing. If you're listening to the show for the first time, I'll just recap what we've been saying for 6 months now. It's so refreshing to hear Lindsey Graham or some Republican sounding at least somewhat reasonable. Obviously, we still disagree with Lindsey Graham on the issues, most of them. But when he talks the way he talked this week at the Washington Press Club Foundation, It's quite refreshing.
Yeah, you know what it is? It harkens back to a time, I believe very strongly in this, that while anyone who becomes president should obviously have his or her own very strong ideals, and, you know, you're going to get some sort of variations, obviously, because of which party they belong to, I want to believe that every president is sane.
Yeah.
You know, has certain values that cut across all lines, all party, all cultural, so that no one president can just be like, I am become death.
Right. Here's the great, I hate to say that, but this is pretty great. Here's the great Lindsey Graham.
72 years ago, a woman could not be part of the American experience. If you don't vote, that's coming back in 2017. But look how far you come. The most dishonest person in America is a woman. Who's about to be president. How could that be? My party is going batshit crazy.
That rules. Of course. The sad part of it is that, and we've been saying this for quite some time now, it's the party's fault. The party made this Frankenstein monster with the Tea Party, elevating the Tea Party, and allowing the crazies to take over, especially at the congressional level. And this is why we're here with effing Ted Cruz and Donald Trump, and to a certain extent Marco Rubio, as the front runners for the Republican presidential nomination. The best and brightest.
Two Tea Partiers and a fascist.
Exactly. The best.
That's exactly what they are. You know, they rode in on the Tea Party wave. Yep. And so you've got them, two extremists and a fucking fascist.
That's right. Yeah. And make no mistake, even though Marco Rubio's become the establishment candidate, he rode into office, rode into the U.S. Senate based on a Tea Party campaign. He ran as a Tea Party outsider. And the fact that he's labeled an establishment candidate is only because Donald Trump is such a non-establishment candidate. So in a relative sense, Marco Rubio seems like, oh, he's like Mr. GOP. He's like the party guy. And he's not. I mean, they're all, I mean, Marco Rubio, as you said, and Ted Cruz are both Tea Partiers. And then you got Trump in the middle. And these are the best and brightest of the Republican Party. These are the top-level people who Republicans believe can be president.
Yep, that's the best we can do.
Best we can do,
that's the best they can do.
And of course, Lindsey.
And never, ever, ever get complacent about that. Right. You know, never think to yourself, it's entirely possible that Trump can't win.
Yeah.
You know, that really he is a Republican phenomenon. But man, I wouldn't bank on that. Don't ever bank on that. Because if you get complacent and if you think that he's not a real threat in the general, nationwide,
yeah,
we will have a President Trump.
It's kind
of... And we cannot have that happen. He talked today, was it today? I think he spoke today at a rally in Texas.
Yeah.
And he said that he wanted to basically upend the First Amendment so that, you know, change the libel laws so that he can sue anyone who writes negatively about him.
I imagine that
for a minute.
Yeah, you know what? Bring it on. Because if he does that, it's going to be open season on Donald Trump. And especially on this show. I want him. I would deliberately troll Donald Trump in order to get sued by Donald Trump. That would be the greatest effing thing in the world. You want to put us at the top of the charts on iTunes and everywhere else? Give it to us, Donald. Have us served. I can't wait.
That would be a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
We don't win this election. When are we ever going to win one? That's not meant to be funny. A good Republican would defend Ted Cruz after tonight. That ain't happening.
He gets really edgy here. Like right on the precipice of being almost illegal, what he says here coming up.
If you killed Ted Cruz on the floor of the Senate and the trial was in the Senate, nobody could convict you. To the women who left the kitchen tonight to come, thank you all very much.
That's a shot against John Kasich. That was just a dumb thing for him to say.
Yeah.
And by the way, situation where Marco Rubio looks like the establishment candidate next to Trump. John Kasich, who's really kind of, if you look at issue by issue, a far-right conservative, looks like a moderate next to Donald Trump.
He does.
Looks totally reasonable, even though he's not.
He's not at all. He's basically, he's a religious fundamentalist.
Exactly. And he just signed legislation in Ohio.
Which is kind of a fucking shame, because it's another case of the Republican need, among some Republicans to be this fundamentalist, this allowing for that kind of fundamentalist religious belief, mm-hmm. and that infecting their thinking. Because otherwise, you know, Kasich could probably be a pretty normal guy if somewhere along the line the Bible hadn't beaten him over the head.
Yeah, I mean, and that's typically what happens. Or they figure out, all right, I've had my greatest success by pandering to the religious right. And so now I have to keep doing that because now they're my base. It's like the Tea Party thing. You encourage them enough, you give them an inch, and they're going to take a mile. And then you're going to be completely beholden to them. Like, you have to dance with the one who brung you. Isn't that the cliche?
Yep.
And the people who elected John Kasich want that fire and brimstone crap. They want to defund Planned Parenthood, which is what John Kasich did a couple of weeks ago. Moderate John Kasich. Here's more of Lindsey Graham continuing to call out the Republican Party.
John Kasich needs your help. He's the moderate.
By the way, Lindsey Graham's voice sounds almost worse than mine right now. In fact, my voice sounded very similar to Lindsey Graham's voice yesterday.
With a good heart.
That's all right. I promise you he'll be coding it with something a little bit later.
Oh, my God.
The nice guy is Ben Carson. He tried to kill his cousin.
Graham is on. This Lindsey's going for it. I love it.
That is awesome. He's the nice guy, and he tried to kill his cousin.
Hit his mother in the head with a hammer.
Hit his mother in the head with a hammer.
He's the one we all like. How did I lose to these guys?
That is awesome. How did I lose to these guys? Yeah, you know, I'm still trying to figure that out. I guess he wasn't crazy enough. He just has to be crazier.
Absolutely.
More unhinged. He just has to blurt crap. Maybe you should spend some time on Twitter.
Yeah.
If you spend some time on Twitter, Lindsey Graham would know absolutely the entire Trump strategy. Spend some time on Twitter and watch The Apprentice and then adapt.
Trump has changed everything. It's terrifying. I mean, and that's the problem. The problem is that
he doesn't. The problem is that he doesn't love the poorly educated.
Right? I love the poorly educated.
No, but the problem is that Trump, even if Trump doesn't win, this is like the Joker. You've changed things.
Yeah,
you know, he's changed things. He's changed the environment now.
That's right.
He has sown chaos and anarchy within politics.
And now the expectation is going to be that in order to be successful in future elections,
what you have to do.
You have to do that. You have to do the Trump. The Trump blurting.
I love the poorly educated.
Just like that. Quick break. Back with more show after this. Okay, let's talk about supporting independent media. For only $1 a month, you can help finance the Bob and Chez show at patreon.com/Bob and Chez. That's 12 cents per show. Go now to patreon.com/Bob and Chez. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez. And sign up for $1 a month, $5 a month, $10 a month, or $15 a month, or whatever you can afford. If you sign up for $5 or more, you'll get special Patreon-only shows like our post-mortem wrap-up show, the Not Safe for Work after-party show, and commercial-free, unbleeped versions of the free Tuesday and Thursday shows. Most of all, you'll be supporting a totally independent podcast not affiliated with corporate media. And if we reach our $7,500 per month goal, we'll bring you new shows 5 days a week, Mondays through Fridays. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez, or click the Patreon link at bobseska.com. Let's do this thing.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
The second half of today's show is brought to you by the bobseska.com Amazon link.
If you shop at Amazon, enter the site using our link. It's just below the logo at bobsuska.com, and we get a small commission from everything you buy. It costs you nothing and helps support the show. Thank you in advance. I'm just hearing my effing voice. God damn. Okay. Oh, well, I assure you, it should absolutely be better by Tuesday. So, moving along here. We mentioned this kind of a few seconds ago, which was Marco Rubio nailing Donald Trump. And the quote was, I mean, it was Rubio going on offensive. Everyone was trying to hit Trump yesterday. But Marco Rubio said, if Trump hadn't inherited $200 million, he'd be selling watches on the streets of Manhattan.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Yes. Of course, I almost forgot. Chris Christie endorsed Donald Trump today.
Yeah, I saw that.
Which is really a weird thing because not too long ago, Chris Christie said Donald Trump doesn't have the temperament to be president. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie said Thursday that GOP presidential rival Donald Trump has the right mindset to be president. Donald's a great guy and a good person, but I just don't think that he's suited to be president of the United States. This is back in August, he told Fox News. He added, I don't think his temperament is suited for that, and I don't think his experience is.
Jesus. Yep.
Yeah. Christie, often accused of having his own temperament issues, was responding to Greta Van Susteren asking if he would be willing to take a swipe at the Republican frontrunner and real estate tycoon. And there he is. It took a swipe, but now he's endorsing him. And did you see the photo floating around Facebook today? He did like the big hug thing again, like he did with who's that guy from the Dallas Cowboys? Jerry Jones, who's up in the owner's box during that football game. Hugged Jerry Jones, gave him that big bear hug, which infuriated all of New Jersey. Did the same thing with Trump. So he just doesn't care. He doesn't care. He's going around just like ramming his tongue down someone's throat on stage because he's just going to yell at the press as soon as they bring it up. So he's got it. He's got it all figured out. Meanwhile, I saw this story that Biff Tannen was indeed based on Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Bob Gale, the writer of Back to the Future Part 2, has confirmed that the villain, Biff Tannen, was based on another power-hungry loudmouth with terrible hair, Donald Trump. The Daily Beast presents some of the similarities between Trump and the version of Tannen in Part 2, who essentially rules Hill Valley in a darker alternate 1985. He's been handed the keys to fortune. He's unrepentantly used that fortune exclusively for himself, and he's even become a public advocate for plastic surgery for women in his family. And of course, Tannen uses his power to force himself into politics and turn Marty's home into a gun-addled but immigrant-free wasteland.
Perfect.
It was really like, it was like a Mad Max alternate 1985.
Yes.
And all of the gaudy, pretentious, terrible Trump, like the gold trim on everything and just the over the almost like white trash bad taste. Yeah. That's indicative of Donald Trump was certainly employed in that movie, and but it's for real and all of that crap. I don't know if you saw the meme going around Facebook too, which is the White House decked out like the way Donald Trump would remodel the White House.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, but I have no doubt what that would look like.
And then one other Trump thing. Nearly 20% of Trump's supporters disapprove of Lincoln freeing the slaves.
Yeah, I saw that. That's beautiful.
This is not from The Onion or one of the fake news sites. The New York Times took a dive into whether Donald Trump supporters are unusually racist or, in the newspaper's delicate phrasing, responsive to religious, social, and racial intolerance. And they came up with a stunning statistic. Nearly 1 in 5 Trump supporters didn't approve of freeing the slaves in the Confederacy. A YouGov economist poll in January asked respondents if they approved or disapproved of the, quote, executive order that freed all slaves in the states that were in rebellion against the federal government. The Emancipation Proclamation! Jesus. That executive order is better known as the Emancipation Proclamation. 13% of respondents and nearly 20% of Trump supporters, the Times reports, compared with 5% of Marco Rubio's, said they disapproved of it. But, I mean, even that's kind of astonishing. 5% of Marco Rubio's supporters disapprove of the Emancipation Proclamation.
That's the Republicans for you, man. This is what they are.
I mean, I just wonder, are they taking the poll seriously when they answer like that? Are they serious? Do they seriously believe that? Are there still 20% of Trump supporters in this country who look back to 1862 and go,
I mean, my God, that Abraham Lincoln's nothing but an N-word lover. Freeing the slaves, getting them all uppity, giving them the right to vote.
Did you ever see a movie called The Confederate States of America?
Yes. That is a great, great sort of fake documentary.
It is. It's an alternate universe documentary, which tells the story of what happened when the South won the Civil War.
Yes.
And it's fascinating. The best part about it is that it's done as if it's an actual documentary on TV. So in between, you get commercials, which are unbelievable.
There's one commercial where, isn't it an advertisement for a collar that you put on your slaves?
Something like that. Yeah, exactly. It's
a neck collar
thing
that you put on your slaves. Jesus Christ.
But they talk about, like, I remember there's one part where they, you know, they captured Lincoln and tried him. He was trying to get out. He was dressed in blackface trying to get out on the Underground Railroad.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, look, dude. You have the governor of Mississippi who is declaring, what is it, next month?
Yeah.
Confederacy Awareness Month or Confederate Heritage Month or some like that.
Terrible.
Yeah. I mean, you know, these people, these fucking assholes who still believe that there's this glory in the South.
There's a whole subculture. And in fact, Newt Gingrich is part of that subculture. And they fantasize about if the Confederacy won the Civil War.
Yep. Yeah,
and then, first of all, they game out what the Confederacy would have to do in the Civil War to have won. And then they play it out, especially in this documentary, how the series of events occur after that. Like, suffice to say, if the Confederacy had won the Civil War, it wouldn't look like the Confederacy now. It would have, all of the states would have seceded and formed their own countries. Because as soon as you build a country based on the idea of secession and you don't make secession illegal, then all of those individual, maybe down to the municipal level, would have seceded over and over again. It just would have been subdivided, subdivided, subdivided to the point where the Confederacy would cease to exist. It would just be completely balkanized. But, you know, if you haven't seen that documentary, I remember it being on Netflix. It might still be there. But that is it's kind of the Republican utopia.
Yeah,
it's kind
it
of,
is.
I mean, if you consider that 20% of Trump supporters think the Emancipation Proclamation was a bad idea, my hunch is executive overreach. I think that's the gripe. If they're thinking that well about it. And of course, Trump supporters don't think that well about much of anything.
I love the poorly educated.
Exactly. Well, that's the problem.
Yeah. I mean, that is that one statement, that sentence right there.
Yeah.
That's it. That sums up where we are now in America. That is America 2016.
This is it right here.
I love the poorly educated.
All right. We're going to take a break and come back with more show right after this.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius Bath and Body Products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
The Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
I love the poorly educated.
Welcome back to the show today. Thank you for joining us. And I apologize for my voice. It's not really good. So if you're hearing the show for the first time today, this show, this particular episode of the show, we don't normally sound like that. Or I don't normally sound like this. Okay.
I do.
Chez sounds perfectly fine.
I'm usually always drunk.
All right. So getting back into the Republican presidential race, this really, really irritated me and at the same time didn't surprise me in the slightest. Ted Cruz promised to pardon Center for Medical Progress's David DeLeiden.
Of course he did.
And subsequently to investigate Planned Parenthood. So as you know, this guy who made all of these fake Planned Parenthood videos has been indicted in Houston, Texas. Rightfully so. This is so ironic. For actually trying to buy fetus body parts. Like, that never occurred to David DeLeiden. Like, going around asking to buy fetus body parts against the law is illegal, obviously. And so not only has he spread these propaganda videos all around, but he's also been indicted for trying to do this, the very thing that he was trying to weed out. And so Ted Cruz wants to both investigate Planned Parenthood for something that it hasn't done and which 12 states have determined that Planned Parenthood hasn't done. So much for states' rights, right? Leaving certain things up to the states. Like, oh, we're going to leave it up to the states to conduct these investigations, and whatever they say goes. I mean, we're talking about people like Rick Snyder, Rick Scott, people who are hardline Tea Party Republicans, have gone over this and over this and said, well, nah, can't find anything. But Ted Cruz thinks he's going to find something.
Of course he is.
Yeah. And then he's going to pardon David DeLeiden, who very clearly has broken the law. I mean, at the very least, David DeLeiden has slandered Planned Parenthood.
These people are not... they. What happened to the Law and Order Party?
I don't know.
What happened to Republicans being the party of strict constitutionality and law and order?
Nothing makes sense anymore. I mean, you know, just once, I want to hear from a Ted Cruz supporter. Just anyone. If you're a Ted Cruz supporter, or even if you're just a Republican who kind of understands Ted Cruz, but you're not necessarily voting for him in the primaries, I want to hear from you, and I want you to explain to me. This is not abortion-related. This is tax-related. Ted Cruz, during every debate, and he did it again last night, says, okay, here's what we're going to do. If I become president, we're going to abolish the IRS, and then taxes are going to become the progressive tax system is going to become a flat tax that you will file on a postcard, on a postcard-sized tax return. My question is, and this hasn't been answered, no one's even tried to attempt it. Where do you send your postcard if the IRS is abolished? If there is no federal agency tasked with collecting taxes, collecting tax returns, and enforcing tax law, where do you send your goddamn taxes? If there's a flat tax, that implies there's going to be some agency that will collect your flat tax, your 17% or whatever the hell he's talking about. But if Ted Cruz becomes president, he's eliminating that agency. So where are we going to send it? To his house? We just send our postcards to the White House. Ted Cruz, care of the White House, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Then he can sort through all that crap. He can sort through whatever it is, 300 million tax returns. I don't know how is the revenue going to be collected? Who's going to determine whether or not someone's paid their fair share of taxes? Who's going to make sure that people aren't dodging their taxes? This is all crap that happens to the IRS. No one loves the IRS. And I assure you, there is no love lost between me and the IRS. But the fact of the matter is, there needs to be some agency that collects revenue for the federal government. And if there's no IRS, who's going to do it? The states? The states that can't conduct adequate elections The states that, to quote Dennis Miller from back when he was funny, the states can't pave roads, for God's sake. How the hell are they going to collect taxes? Much less conduct elections. Well, that's a whole other story. But anyway, so no one, please, someone, you can find me on Twitter, let me know. You can find me on Facebook, for that matter. Let me know. Where you send your tax returns if there's no IRS. Okay.
Yeah.
Moving along. So I guess we'll do this a little bit as if we haven't been doing it throughout the entire show today. But it's Bernie v. Hillary, dawn of losing the general election and losing all of our listeners on this show. Thank you. This is kind of just cursory, but as I said at the top of the show, we got South Carolina tomorrow, Saturday. Super Tuesday, someday next week. I don't know which day of the week it is.
Oh, Tuesday.
They're telling me it's Tuesday. Duh. So, I wrote a piece this week about these propaganda sites. I wrote this for the Daily Banter this week, right?
The Daily Banter.
And I covered a poll that I saw all over Facebook that was originally publicized by that propaganda site, that pro-Bernie propaganda site, U.S. Uncut. And they were ballyhooing the results of this Reuters poll that showed Bernie Sanders with some sort of enormous lead, like a 6-point lead. And I'm like, nationally. I was like, what the hell's going on here? Is this real? And then I realized what they're citing is not the actual poll results. It's a poll explorer. Pardon me. It's an app on a website where you can put in your own filters and polling parameters to determine different demographics and different crosstabs and things like that. So you can put in, well, how's Bernie doing in with Hispanics? How's Bernie doing with women? How's Bernie doing with African Americans?
Right.
Nationally. And what U.S. Uncut was reporting is the results of the poll without any filters applied. Usually pollsters deliver poll results with the following parameters, either registered voters or likely voters. Right. None of that was put in. So this was just everything. 7,000 respondents, which is not scientific at all. So once you put in, you know, registered Democrats as a filter, then suddenly Hillary Clinton is ahead. Or if you put in likely voters, Hillary Clinton is even more ahead. But U.S. Uncut did none of that.
Of course they didn't.
So it was
U.S. Uncut is nothing but pro-Bernie propaganda. That's all they are.
So I saw this story go out to all kinds of other publications.
And everybody, dude, everybody ran with it.
Everybody.
You had to see the number of smug asshole tweets I got.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Look at this poll. Shock poll. Bernie Sanders leads nationally by 6 points. Well, you know, look, and this isn't an indictment against Bernie Sanders. I want to make that perfectly clear. This is, to me, an extension of what we've been witnessing for the last couple of years online, which is the emergence of the fake news site, like the National Report and sites like that. They don't do satire, they don't do comedy, they just do fake news. And some of that clickbait model is being applied to politics, where sensational things that just reek of propaganda, are being thrown out there as sort of cheerleading chum for certain groups of ideologues.
Yeah, and I get, and those get circulated.
Yeah,
they get circulated by the ideologues. Absolutely.
Exactly.
I've gotten so many. You know, I've had to send. I basically, it's like I have a series of comebacks just saved on Twitter.
Right.
For these people, and one is essentially just, well, you know what? You really convinced me with that opinion article in that website.
Right. Exactly.
That's it. You've totally, you know, that's it. You've convinced me that Bernie's going to win by this opinion article in this website nobody heard of until this election.
So, you know, I went off for, it must have been 1,200 words, something like that, on the Daily Banter.
The Daily Banter.
And so.
It's so good to have that back.
I know. It really, really.
The Daily Banter.
And And all of this had to do with the pro-Bernie sites, because they were that day they happened to be the offending group of people who were circulating what was clearly a misleading and deceptive poll, or their interpretation of the poll was deceptive. And I get to the very end of this article, the second to last paragraph, and I mentioned something about how U.S. Uncut has a pro-Hillary counterpart called Daily News Bin.
Yes.
And
before you even go any further, Daily News Bin is nowhere near as hostile as U.S. Uncut is. In keeping with the way Bernie Sanders fanatics have comported themselves, basically, News Bin is just like very pro-Hillary.
Yeah.
But U.S. Uncut is both vehemently pro-Bernie and just relentlessly anti-Hillary Clinton.
So here's what I wrote in the Daily Banter the other day.
The Daily Banter.
I wrote, the rabidly pro-Bernie site U.S. Uncut and its pro-Hillary counterpart Daily News Bin aren't legitimate news sites, nor are they legitimate opinion journalism sites. They're all about providing adrenaline for true believers, and they're willing to cherry-pick and mislead in order to do it. Next paragraph. It appears as if we're witnessing the next evolution of the fake news site. A year or so ago, we observed how non-satirical fake sites cynically deceived readers for the sake of generating clicks via social media. And now the same model, again, model, is being applied to the 2016 presidential campaign. Sure, U.S. Uncut and the like are a little more grounded in reality, but not enough reality to make them trustworthy. So, maybe, I don't know, 90 minutes after I posted this article, everywhere I went, there was a note from the publisher of Daily News Bin saying, can you please email me? It was on Twitter. It was on, he contacted me through Facebook, through both my personal page on Facebook and the Bob and Chez Show page on Facebook. It just everywhere I went, like, yeah, get a hold of me, yeah, contact me. So, and then meanwhile, he emails Ben Cohen, who's of course the publisher of the Daily Banter, and complains to him because
our traffic's been awesome, by the way.
Yeah, it has been really good, really good. The Daily Banter really like nailing it with traffic.
The Daily Banter,
and so. He contacts Ben, and I send him an email saying, yeah, okay, what do you want? Let me know what your problem is. And he basically said that I accused Daily News Bin of being a fake news site, which I didn't do. And I let him know. I said back to him, I wrote back to him, and I said, nope, I didn't say you were a fake news site. I said there are other sites that we talked about a couple of years ago that are fake news sites. But Daily News Bin isn't a fake news site. What I said about Daily News Bin is I said, you aren't a legitimate news site. And I said, you're not even a legitimate opinion journalism site.
Right.
And I listed a bunch of reasons why. I said, first of all, and this is the main thing, Daily News Bin never provides links to sources, or very seldom does. I went through, I think it was 25 posts. The top 25 posts on Daily News Bin, most of them were pro-Hillary posts. There were 8 links in those 20 posts. Most of the posts didn't have any links in them to sources. And then there was one post that had like a human source, and it was just one source, and the source was unnamed. Which, if you see an article like that, if you see something that says, oh my God, look what CNN did, or look what Bernie Sanders said about Hillary Clinton, and there are no links, that you begin to wonder, is this legitimate? Is this real? And so that's why I threw in Daily News Bin here. Yes, it provided balance. I needed some balance at the end, but it was informed balance.
Right. Well, I mean, my thing with Daily News Bin is, whenever anybody puts up, it's basically, it's a matter of perception. When I'm scrolling through my Facebook feed, anything that is pro-Bernie, anti-Hillary that comes from, you know, I look and I see, and if it's from U.S. Uncut, I don't even bother. And anything that comes out that's pro-Hillary, I look at it and I'm like, you know, strongly pro-Hillary, I look at it, I'm like, oh, Daily News Bin, of course. And I just move on.
Yeah, yeah. Because it just, I mean, the site, and certainly, every site should be allowed to have its growing pains. It's early. It's only been around since July of 2015. So the publishers and the writers at Daily Newsman are still finding their way. But they've got a ton of traffic from Facebook. There's no doubt about that. And the reason they do is they're providing that. They're scooping out that chum at the back of the boat, like in Jaws. They're just scooping it out. And people are, you know, it's almost and if you build it, they will come kind of thing. And they're doing it based on stories that, to me, aren't, well, let's put it this way. They don't seem legitimate to me. When I don't see links, when I don't see sources named, I begin to think, fake. Now, I say that knowing that as this guy said, or contrary to what that guy said, the publisher of Daily Newsman, I didn't accuse it of being a fake news site. I just said it was not legitimate. But the response I got, and I wish I could read the emails.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it.
They were fun.
But
they were lengthy and repetitive and
unhinged.
Yeah.
Completely unhinged. And again, this is a pro-Hillary site. So any of you who think that we're only bashing U.S. Uncut, no. It's clearly happening on both ends of the spectrum here during this primary season. Which, by the way, I can't wait until it's over.
Oh, my God. March 15th can't come fast enough.
I know. All right. Well, what we're going to do next is we're going to do an after-party / post-mortem show. So if you're listening to the commercial-free, not-safe-for-work version of the show at Patreon, we're just going to continue doing the show like we normally do with the post-mortem. So just keep listening. It's coming up next. Sign up at patreon.com/BobandChez or at BobSeska.com. Thank you. We'll see you on the after-party / post-mortem. Bye-bye.